Welcome to Steady She Grows. I'm Casey Jordan, and this is the podcast that is dedicated to giving you an honest look at the realities of being a solo entrepreneur. My guess is that you want to grow a sustainable and feel-good business without burnout and overwhelm. I have a passion for creating clarity out of the chaos that is building a business without a giant budget, without a team of people to manage, and in the hours you choose to work. We're talking about the realities of what it takes to be a solopreneur, both logistically and emotionally. We'll get into the good stuff in literally 60 seconds, but first, a quick shout out to my sponsors. This episode is sponsored by my Strategy Jam sessions. These sessions are hyper-focused on creating clarity and a clear plan of action for whatever you are struggling with in your business today. Whether you need help getting more productive, completing your goals, or growing your visibility, it's only $99 for 90 minutes of one-on-one coaching, including a next step action plan so you stay on track. It's not just fluff coaching. We're creating a real plan of attack for just your needs. Learn more and get signed up at caseyjordan.com/strategyjam. And now to today's episode. Welcome to the show, Roshni. I'm super excited to chat with you today.
Thank you, Casey. I'm so excited to be here.
So let's start out. Tell us a little bit about what you do now in your business, how you make money and what you do these days.
Okay. So I am into a consulting business and I'm serving my tribe, that is women entrepreneurs, in two ways. First is I am doing project-based consulting. So most of the time it happens that a lot of us are solopreneurs, and when there is a gigantic project at hand and you feel that with so many things going around, there is not enough time actually to kickstart that new thing that you always wanted to do. Maybe a marketing campaign, maybe a new event. That's the place where I come in, strategize, launch, and execute that project for you. So it's like I help you sell the boat, and I also make a strategic sales plan for the business. The second thing that I do is one-to-one consulting, which it many times it happens that in spite of trying every hook and crook, we are not able to see those growth results in your business. And because you are within the forest and you are not able to see where the fire is, so you always need that outside perspective to tell you what is the next thing you should be doing in your business. And that's the place where I come in. I do 90 minute breakthrough sessions, and these could help you resolve things like customer profiling, go-to-market strategy, sales strategy, pitching for your business to your corporate clients, or even getting comfortable with the entire idea of selling. Because sometimes it happens that women entrepreneurs especially get intimidated by the idea of selling. That's when I help them with a little bit of soft skill part, a little bit of coaching part. So those are predominantly two ways I help my people.
I love that. And those are some very important things, like you said, some areas that it's hard to see those things when you're the one struggling, you know, and having that outside perspective. Yeah. So that's awesome. I am curious. So you are based in India. Do you mostly work, I would assume mostly online? Like where is your clientele?
Predominantly it is locally, as I am in Delhi NCR region. So that's the place I am working predominantly in for my project-based consulting, at least. For one-to-one, I am now getting connected with a lot of women communities across different cities, but it is within India as well.
And the joy of working online is that you can expand as far as you want.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, so let's back up in time now. Tell me about how you became an entrepreneur. How did you end up developing this business?
So the current business actually is not what I had started with. Of course, like many of us have gone through, especially you have been interviewing people on your podcast who have transitioned to different businesses, and the same is for me also. But like my first business, I started in 2009, which was actually, I was like destined to be an entrepreneur because that was the only dream I ever had since the age of like 12 or 13 years, because I always saw my father, who is a serial entrepreneur. So I was always dreamt to be an entrepreneur myself. But of course, due to certain circumstances and family priorities, I was not able to pursue it soon enough. And 2009, I launched my first business, so which was an e-commerce portal into personalized products for kids. So of course, there was no issue with the idea, with the fact that yes, it was doing great, but the entire bug of doing something which is more substantial and meaningful and helps more number of people in certain way is something which made me exit my business in 2016. So that was the transition part where I thought that I should get into consulting and start helping fellow women entrepreneurs. So, but the thing is, this transition of from an entrepreneur to a consultant didn't hit me that much at that, during that moment, because I already had taken up a project, a long-term project. And 6 months, I was already working both on my business, because I was handing over my business and I was also working on this project. So during that time, I had no fear of what I'm going to do. But 4 to 5 months down the line, when that project got over, now I had no idea as to what I'm going to do next, where my next project will be coming in. I had no idea that. It was like building again from the scratch, but I was not also knowing what am I building.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Because till that time, sales and consulting was very new to me. I didn't know what to do with it. Uh-huh. Yeah. I also didn't have any corporate background, so I could have leveraged my connections from there. So yeah, right. I had no clue what to do. But since like another big challenge for me at that point of time was being a solopreneur, I was like handling all the things in my business. Mm-hmm. But of course, there were people who were doing their stuff. But majorly, I was heading all the department kind of thing. And so we are a generalist. But when you go out as a consultant, or even if you go out for a job, you have to know what you are good at.
Tell me, when you started your first business with the e-commerce, was that easier in the sense of like you kind of knew all of the steps, and or were you overwhelmed also then about like how to even start that process?
So for that business, actually, I was not feeling very overwhelmed right at the start, because I knew I will take it very slowly and steadily. And in fact, I started from home in the first place. I started getting some inventory and started selling through my home first. And then I started designing my own stuff and giving to some of the people to make it and stitch it on a job work basis. And then in the third phase, I took a place where I set up my workshop with machines, with tailors, and it was like a small manufacturing unit. Then in the fourth step, I launched my website. So it was a very gradual progress that I made in the business. But like during the second time, it was, I too probably was in a restless space where I knew how to do things and I didn't want to sit idle, basically. So yeah, so that's when I was like, yes, I have to make this work. But yeah, I didn't know how to make it work. So yeah, that's when I, how to come out with the fact that from a generalist, what is the competence that you are selling? So I purchased an assessment test from an executive firm to know what I am good at. And then there were a lot of questions to be answered, which customers I have to serve, what is my actual plan, where I see myself 5 years down the road. Now, these all questions I was starting with in the second business. In the first business, I didn't care about any of these things. Uh-huh. It was just about starting the business. And then we'll figure out on the way. But in the second business, yes, from the learnings of the first one, we knew that these are the first questions mm-hmm. that need to be answered.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think I went through the same. My first business was just kind of make it happen and learn as I go. And now it's like, I know what to expect and I want it to happen on my timeline, which we know business doesn't do that. And so then I get frustrated trying to like, okay, what's next? What's next? And keep things moving.
And I also think that there's a lot of, we have to delve into our personal space also a lot in this entire transition thing. Because while you need to have that futuristic vision as to where your business will be in the next 5 to 10 years, we also have to deep dive into what you are wanting for yourself. And also, it's bound to happen that sometimes those self-confidence issues and not good enough issues do crop up. We have to deal with that also. So like for me, I took up a few philosophies like this. I started volunteering a lot. I worked with a deaf and dumb school, kids of deaf and dumb school, where we were teaching organic farming to them. So being close to nature also helped. And I was coloring mandala paintings. Mm-hmm. That is a great stress buster. I do that now also. So these are the things that we have to go through, both in the internal and the external atmosphere. But yes, certainly transitions are not easy or instant at all. Mm-hmm. But I think as entrepreneurs, we are used to handling this chaos and uncertainty. So somehow we do wade through it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And do you feel like, because you have some tools now for handling the uncertainty, do you feel like you move through it faster?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because this self-awareness part as to how you are dealing with things, how you are dealing with the uncertainty and chaos and some adversities coming around. So, a huge amount of self-awareness has to be there. Like I, on days I know that I am not in the mood of working today, I know I will, even if I push myself to do this stuff, the quality will not be good. So I take those 2-3 hours off and then get back to my work. So some days I feel that, yes, this entire social media thing is overwhelming me. Everybody is doing so good and where am I kind of a thing. So I have that awareness that, yes, I have to switch off my social media today. So what is triggering you, that kind of intuitiveness and understanding you have to develop about yourself. So that really helps. And that comes with the time and, yes, observing yourself. So that definitely has come in.
Yeah, I think that's a really important one. When there's a line in entrepreneurship where when we don't feel like doing the work, we sometimes still need to show up and do the work. But we also have to know ourselves well enough that some days, like I'm the same. I'm going to take 2 or 3 hours off. Because if I try to work now, I'm just going to have to redo all of that stuff. And there's other times where I feel like I don't want to work. And I'm like, no, now I'm just procrastinating. And I have to kind of set a timer, you know, trick myself into doing the work. And I think that's so important in this hustle, work all you can kind of mentality, that sometimes walking away is actually the best work you can do.
Absolutely. I agree to that.
So I have 3 questions that I like to ask everybody every episode. And the first question is, tell me about one of your biggest wins, one of your biggest successes in business.
I am a person who believes in everyday successes. Mm. So when I was sharing a stage as a speaker, who is the national award winner of our country, that was a success for me. Getting the invite for my first TEDx, that is a success for me. Simply having a great productive day is a success to me. So yeah, each day I know this list will keep growing. So, but as you say, the biggest one. So I definitely think that the decision of starting out as an entrepreneur against all odds is the one of the biggest wins, because I'm able to have this long list of successes because in the first place I was able to start on this journey. So getting started on this journey of entrepreneurship, I believe, is the biggest.
I love that. I love the everyday successes, and that just simply starting is kind of the biggest success because it created that whole chain. Ooh, I really like that.
Yeah.
What is one of the hardest lessons you've had to learn?
I think I'm still in the process of learning it. Like it somehow comes from the space of, in the personal space, where I'm not able to forgive people very easily. So maybe people who've not treated me well or disrespected me or something like that. So forgiveness doesn't come to me very easily. I'm in the process of learning it, but I don't think I am there yet on that aspect.
I think that's awesome that you can see that and admit that, because that's one that I struggle with, but I don't like fessing up to it. Like, I should just be more forgiving and accepting, but I can be kind of stubborn and hard-headed. And I like that you see that and that you are.
Of course, it is one of the hardest thing, because of course sometimes you miss friendships because of that, or you miss out on those connections which might be very important in your life. But both in business and personal space, I believe.
That dramatically, I think, impacts both spaces. Absolutely. So what would be one piece of advice you wish you had known sooner?
One piece of advice, which I think in my first business, I would have waken up to a little bit more in time, was to base your decisions on data and facts a lot. When I launched my website, of course, it was very easy then to look at the analytics. And of course, then over a period of time, we also moved into a space of measuring your marketing efforts. Mm-hmm. So then I was also focusing on the analytics and the ROI part. But initial 3 years, I would say I didn't pay too much of attention of the what the numbers and the figures and the data is telling me. But I was fortunate enough to, at that point of time, get a mentor who showed me the importance of basing your decisions, at least your business decisions, on data and the numbers your business is showing.
Yeah, and I think also with that is kind of not letting our ego get into those numbers. I know early on I ignored the numbers because I took it as a personal reflection, not as like just a metric, a number to be aware of. And I think a lot of new entrepreneurs do that. They shy away from knowing because they think little numbers mean bad things, where it's just like, you're just starting. Little is fine. Now watch it grow.
Yeah, but metrics show you so much. Like just for example, like again, taking example from my first business, when we got into the studying of which cities are giving us the most business, and it turned out that yes, Delhi and Bombay probably are giving us the most business. So we can focus our marketing efforts there. We can tailor to the needs of the customers and the color preferences and design preferences. So there are so many issues and decisions you can then consecutively take if in the first place you have that eye to understand the data.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think, because your two businesses have been so different, would you still give the same piece of advice in terms of launching the consulting business?
I think the first and foremost thing which is important is who your client is, because your entire branding or your products or whatever you are selling, whatever in fact you are customizing for your customers, depends on actually what they need. So when one is starting the consulting business, I think to have a very clear idea of who your customer is, what is their profile, what kind of business or industry they are into. So I think that's something we need to have a clear understanding of first.
Agreed. And I think at some level that can go back to those facts. If you know who you're connecting with, then you can better fine tune who your audience is, and then you can better fine tune what your offers are. So it all connects more smoothly.
Yes, absolutely.
Roshni, thank you so much. This has been great. Tell us where we can find you online if we want to learn more about you and what you offer.
My website, roshnibaronia.com, is where you can connect me. The social handles, which I am easily available, are Instagram and LinkedIn. And there is also a special resource available for the women entrepreneurs. They can have a How to Revolutionize Your Sales Mindset ebook on my website, which is free to download. So that is something that they can have.
Thank you so much. And I will make sure all of that's linked up in the show notes, so it's super easy to find. Roshni, thank you so much. It's been a delight chatting.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in for another week of Steady She Grows. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to screenshot the show and give it a share over on Instagram. Tag me at Casey.Jordan and share your key takeaways. You can also rate and review the show on Apple Podcast or wherever you give it a listen. And until next week, my friends, keep on crushing it.